ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our special guest is Aaron Krell, a SaaS enterprise sales coach and also a famous speaker. And today we're going to talk about product demos. This episode is brought to you by userlist.io. This new tool helps SaaS founders get a better understanding of each individual user journey and send users relevant behavior-based email. To learn more, join the waiting list at userlist.io. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Jane.
We are thrilled to have you today.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Before we get started with the topic, could you give us a brief recap of what you do and a little bit about your background?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been working with SaaS companies for the past 2.5 years. I started a group called SaaS Growth Hacks on Facebook, and it's about 8,000 SaaS founders and CEOs and people that are entrepreneurs. And so I've been a member, and I grew that group to 8,000. And so I've been working with SaaS companies solely focusing on increasing conversions through demos, and I have a workshop that I put people through also that helps them increase conversions. So so my focus right now is just helping SaaS companies turn more of their enterprise leads into sales.
Fantastic. That was brief. Tell us a bit more about where you come from. Have you always been working with enterprise SaaS, or maybe have a different background?
No, actually, so I started a company a few years ago, and we were doing pretty much just everything you can think of that had to do with web. So if you wanted us to build you a website, we'd build you a website. If you wanted us to shine your shoes, we'd shine your shoes for you. Like anything and everything, like we did. And I eventually just got burned out from doing that. Trying to solve everyone's problems and doing it well, in my opinion, is almost impossible when you're doing something like that. And it's really hard to scale. So I actually started two businesses where I did that, and both of them failed in the sense that I couldn't scale them because they were just too time intensive. So after a while, I decided to focus on solving a specific pain for a specific market, and I kind of stumbled into the SaaS world unintentionally and discovered that there was a huge need for somebody to come in and show really talented developers and product people how to position their products for the right market. So I've just spent the past 3 years focusing on taking the knowledge that I've gained from I've been in marketing and sales for the past 8 years or so, and just how to position that to help SaaS companies sell more of their products. And so that's kind of how I ended up there.
That's fantastic, because sales acumen is something that a lot of developer founders are lacking, and that's not the hardest skill to learn if you think about it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so amazing that there's so many incredibly talented entrepreneurs that are developing these amazing products and are having a difficult time getting traction because they don't know how to position their product for the right market. They don't know who to go after. They don't know how to express the value, the benefits of their product. And so it's just really exciting for me to come in and see a product that has a lot of potential and just and help them make a few changes to their product and see it at like a huge increase in the amount of conversions and sales that they get. So it's really exciting.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm really happy that you picked this niche for yourself and have been thriving there.
Yeah.
Awesome. So for product demos, how would you describe and define a product demo? What kind of format is that?
So in my opinion, and this really depends on what stage the customer is at. Typically with a product demo, so let me take a step back and talk about like the different stages, levels of awareness of a customer. I didn't make this up. I'm not this smart. I just kind of applied it to, this comes from a book called Breakthrough Advertising. Essentially there's a few different levels where your customer can be at. One is problem aware, And so this is where your customers are aware of the problem that they have, but they don't know of a solution. They don't know if anyone can solve their problem. All they know is they have a problem. The second stage is solution aware, and this means that they know they have a problem and they know there's a solution out there that can help solve their problem, but they don't know what the solution is yet. And then product aware is where the customer is aware of both their problem and the solution, but they're also aware of the products that can solve their problem. And now it's just a matter of deciding which product to use. So in a demo, most likely, and here's what's interesting, and I don't want to like get too far off because there's a lot of stuff that I can say about when to provide a demo and how to ask for the demo. But essentially, if the customer is at problem aware, the demo is going to be different than if a customer was at solution aware, right? So if I say to a customer, and the way that I position the demo is going to be different, right? So if I have a tool that says, hey, we can help you solve this problem, let's hop on a quick discovery call and we can figure out what your problem is and see if we can solve it with our tool. That is for customers that are probably more problem aware. If your customers are product aware, the demo changes to here's our product and here is all the problems that it's going to solve for you. And here's why it's better than the other products out there. So each demo, depending on where your customer is going to be a little bit different in how you position it. It's hard to say what makes a great product demo. It really depends on which stage your customer is at.
Can you elaborate a little bit about the solution aware stage? Because product aware and the problem aware are kind of more obvious. Solution aware, are they on the outlook for some vague solution, or how does it work?
Yeah, so someone who's solution aware, I like to use the analogy of dating. So I met my wife on Tinder. Are you guys familiar with Tinder?
You have Tinder? Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Tinder is a worldwide phenomenon, I'm sure. I was on Tinder for a different reason. I was trying to meet a wife, and my wife was too. But when you're in Tinder, the different stages are the problem is so let's say you're in the dating stage. Problem aware is where you know that you want to have a relationship with someone, but you just have no clue who to have a relationship with, right? You know you're alone, but you don't know who is a good fit for you. Solution aware is where you know, okay, I know there's a man out there or a woman out there for me. I don't know who it is. I don't know where to find him. I just know that there's someone out there for me. And so that's when you kind of and that's where you hop on Tinder and you start looking at all of the people available to you, mm-hmm. Who you can date, right? You're looking at profiles. You're looking at how does their hair look? Do they have pets? Are they a cat person? Are they a dog person? What kind of music do they like? So at that point, you are solution aware. You know that there are potential candidates out there for you. You just don't know which one. At product aware, that's where you've selected like four or five. That's where you swipe right and you have five or six or 10 or 20 or 50 men that you've connected with. And you know that one of those men or women is probably going to be a good fit for you. It's just a matter of going on that first date and seeing if they're a good fit, right? And that's kind of that demo moment. It's hard to get a demo. You're most likely not going to get a demo with someone on Tinder without like checking out their profile first, right? So what if the profile had a video on it, right? Like you could watch a pre-recorded demo of your potential partner, right? And get a little taste of who the person is. So that's where you can kind of introduce demos at earlier stages. So to answer your question, solution aware is just being vaguely aware of solutions out there, but not having selected a few of them or multiple or one tool that you feel like can solve your problem.
I love the analogy. You made me smile really wide here with that. That's great. So in your practice, do you mostly end up yourself, teaching founders how to do demos in the product aware stage when they book a demo on the site when they're already checking out a particular SaaS product?
So that's one thing that I focus on. You know, a lot of times when somebody's product aware, they're already pretty they already know what problem they have. They know what they're looking for, and all really the salesperson needs to do is figure out what problems they have and show that their tool can solve those problems, right? Like that's pretty easy. That's why most demo calls are so effective. If you're not doing it totally wrong, an actual demo call isn't really too hard to do. As long as you're not talking about your product nonstop, and you're asking the customer, what are your pain points? What are you trying to accomplish? What don't you like about other solutions that you found? What are you hoping to get out of our tool? And then building a custom plan and showing them all the tools and features that'll solve their problem, right? So that's kind of easy to do. The real challenge, where I kind of come in and where I feel like is the missing element to that is, what about everyone else who's not ready for the demo? And what about so that's like problem and solution aware. What at that stage, essentially what you're doing is saying, hey, you don't know who I am, you never met me before, but let's go out on a first date. Right. People are not usually ready to do that yet. They want to find out who you are, you know, like, where do you live? Do you have a criminal background or not? So as soon as they figure all that stuff out, then they might be ready to take the demo. So when companies have an enterprise solution and the only option for them is to have a free demo or to hop on a call, they're throwing away money. Like they're flushing it down the toilet because there's people who visit the site who aren't ready for a demo yet. So what I do is we try to capture those individuals, whatever stage that they're in, with positioning a different offer. So in this case, it might be instead of hopping on a call, it's watch a pre-recorded demo of our tool and see it in action. Or maybe it's you know, here's a guide to show you with the difference between our tool and the rest of the tools and how we can help solve your problem, right? So that's one thing that I focus on. The other thing is what happens before and after the demo. So a lot of times when people schedule demos, there's really no sequence before the demo to get the customer ready for the demo. And a lot of people spend, a lot of salespeople or founders, whoever is doing the demo, spends a lot of time introducing the product, overcoming objections, explaining things. By the time they're ready to actually do the sales call, it's already too long and the customer is kind of like already bored, right? Mm-hmm. So part of the process is not changing your whole demo process. It's just what do you send and communicate to potential customers before the demo to get them warmed up and ready so that when you hop on the call, they already have some of their objections overcome. They already are warmed up to the tool. They already know, they're more educated about the tool, so they have better questions for you. You don't spend a lot of time trying to get them to understand the product. And then after that, it's a matter of what do you say to follow up with customers that have a demo, because most times they're not going to be ready right away to pull the trigger, especially with enterprise level. So it's a matter of figuring out like who's on the call, who are the decision makers, and then putting the decision makers into a specific like nurturing campaign that shows the benefits of the product over time for the next six months or 3 months, so that when they're ready to make a decision, you are top of mind. So it's really about what you do before and after the demo that can make a huge amount of difference. And the cool thing is, if you get it right, a lot of that is automated. So you don't need to spend a lot of time, doing that by hand for each demo.
Wonderful. You've just touched on so many important points. Let's start with the pre-demo prep. How do you educate the potential customer without giving them that load of information that they will feel, obliged and overwhelmed to consume it?
Sure. So, before a demo, usually customers are going to have specific questions because at this point, most likely when they schedule a demo, they're product aware. So they've either already had other demos, they've explored other tools, they already know what kind of features are exist inside a product. And so they're going to come with questions already in their head. And a lot of times, and as a salesperson, you get the same questions over and over and over again, and you get the same objections over and over and over again. And so when you, before you have a sales call, that's a great opportunity to send out an email that says something like, "Hey, Joe, I'm really excited to have a call with you tomorrow or today, whenever it is, or excited for our call coming up. If you don't want to have a specific day in mind, if it's automated, before we hop on the call, I wanted to go over some of the questions most of our customers have had, and it's answer those for you. So that way, when we're on our call, you can be better prepared and we can make the best use of our time. And then you just go through, some questions, pretty much just like almost an FAQ. The first question is, does your tool do this? Does it connect with my tool? And then you can answer the question. And then you just go through a series of FAQs and also kind of address some objections too. Like, what if the tool doesn't work? Will I be wasting my time? Stuff like that. And so you can kind of explain those things before the call. You can't get into depth about how the specific features and tools that you can use to solve the problem, but you can address objections that most of your customers have.
Fantastic. Would it make sense, for example, there's sometimes pages for onboarding podcast guests, for example. Would it make sense to put together a web page, to take advantage of design opportunities, or maybe put together a PDF thing so that people can explore it with the FAQs?
Yeah. You want to give your customers the materials they need to help make a better decision. So it works for almost any sales process. Is what are the questions my customer has? How can I answer those questions? How can I understand their problems better than they understand them? And that's a huge part. I won't go into that, but essentially, you want to understand your customers so well that you can almost predict what questions they're going to ask. And if you make that material available to them, whether that's through kind of an email before the demo call, it's maybe in a pre-recorded demo or in some type of FAQ process where they can go through it before the call or before they even contact you. Just having that information available is really good. The problem is with a lot of FAQs and stuff, most people just kind of make up questions that they think their customers have. Oftentimes it'll be a mix of both, right? It'll be a mix of, okay, here are the questions that most of our customers have. But the real cool part is when you can start asking questions that your customers have had in their head that they haven't expressed to you. And that's where you can kind of get inside your customer's head. And that's where they really start to feel like you understand their problem. And that overcomes, that's like half the battle right there is once they feel like you can solve their problem and they understand you, it's much easier to get the sale.
Fantastic tips. Let's go back to the format. What does a call look like? What is it? Is it a Skype screen share? How long does it take? And how do you get the customer on the call with you smoothly?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. It really depends on the market. Personally, I use a tool called 24 Sessions. The reason I use it is because there's no download necessary. So they just log in and the demo is just, there's no need to download anything. You don't need to have any plugins. They just, within seconds, you're connected. So you want to make the process as easy as possible for people. If you have something like Zoom or GoToMeeting, they have to download the tool, blah, blah, blah. And usually you want to make the experience for your customers as incredible as possible. And so streamlining that makes them have more trust in you. If you can make it easy for them to have a call and to communicate with you, it just makes it makes the sale flow much better. Logistic wise, there's lots of ways to do it. I use 24 Sessions is a tool that I use, and it allows you to book to send your calendar link to a client, and they schedule a call with you, and it sends them the video link. So it's kind of like Calendly and Zoom combined. So you don't have to have a different tool to schedule than you do have to have the video. So that makes it super easy. What I do is I tell clients when I'm meeting with them, I just say, "Hey, I'm excited to meet with you." And what's really important to get them to schedule the call is you never want to assume that your customers can see the benefits of meeting with you. So I reinforce the benefit every single time when I'm trying to schedule a call. So instead of saying, hey, I'm excited to meet with you, schedule a call here, I would say something like, hey, I'm excited to chat with you about how to increase your conversions or how to leverage more of your existing customers. It'll be a 30-minute call. Here's how you schedule with me. I promise it'll be worth your time, or this call will be really valuable for you. And make sure you give them a benefit of scheduling, because if they understand the benefit, they'll jump through hoops to schedule a call with you. Like, you know, that's not really the problem. Making the process easy and simple is one part of it, but making sure that they understand the benefit of the call is the second part. I mean, a lot of people will schedule calls and they won't show up. The reason most of the time is because they just don't see the value. So anyways, I'll send out an email like that, get them to schedule. We hop on the call, and most of those tools, like 24 Sessions, for instance, and Calendly, and Book Like a Boss, Schedule Once, they have email reminders. So in the reminders, I try to put something like, you know, excited to chat with you about helping you achieve this benefit. I'm excited to help you do that. Excited for our call, you know. So as far as logistics wise, that's kind of the process that I go through.
Do you also, I find it helpful to outline the goals for the call as well in the pre-call email, so that like the goal for us would be to determine whether it's a good fit, or the goal for us would be to, you know, set up your account, or whatever it can be for a different use case.
Yeah, that's great. And again, it kind of depends on where your customer's at in their awareness cycle. But that's definitely something you can do, is outline. Because people don't want to waste their time, right? And when they hop on a sales call, I've hopped on sales calls before where it's pretty much just the sales guy going through a presentation. And you don't want to do the talking. Like, you want the customer to do most of the talking, 80%, 90% of the talking. And most high-level executives don't want to waste time. So they're used to those agendas. So that's a great idea. Putting an agenda in and saying, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you a few questions to see if we're a good fit. If I'm not a good fit, I'll do my best to point you in the direction of someone who can help. If I am a good fit, we'll schedule another call, and I'll show you how the tool can help you, you know?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Small question. How many do you find yourself capable of doing per day? Because we've been doing customer discovery calls, which were hour long, and we discovered that we are drained after three per day. Like, for these, how many can you book yourself without dying?
Oh man, I can only do like three or four a day.
Okay, that's so you're human.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm human, man. And you know, part of this demo process is making sure that the calls you have are with qualified customers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times what I'll do is I will ask some pre-qualification questions, especially if they've reached out to me. I would say, oh, I'm so happy to meet with you, just to make sure that we're a good fit before we even get started. Here are just two questions. And I call those like the pre-qualification questions. If they don't meet those two questions, then they're probably not a good fit. And I can say, hey, you know what? It doesn't look like we're a good fit right now. Here's what we could do, though, is I'll send you to a pre-recorded demo. You can get a free trial of the product and try it out for yourself and see if it's a good fit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do personally. There's lots of ways to pre-qualify, but you want to make sure the calls you are having every day are qualified customers and not like people that just want to kick the tires, you know? So
great advice. Absolutely. I love, just in general, I love your strategy in business about focusing on quality rather than increasing traffic. That thread kind of goes throughout your blog and your advice everywhere.
Yeah, totally. And even though the name of my group is SaaS Growth Hacks, I don't necessarily agree with a lot of these growth hacks that are going around that are like these short-term, quick win type deals. I mean, some of them are great. If we can get a quick win, that's awesome, but they're not long-term strategies. So, you know, I guess you're right. Like my focus is not so much how we can get a quick win. It's what can we do to fix the problem, the root problem, so that you have a long-term strategy and that you're providing quality type stuff and that you're serving the right customers and that you're solving. I mean, really, and what I believe is you don't need to be the best in solving a specific problem. You just need to be the only one solving a specific problem, right?
Okay.
so So, like, if you're the only one that's doing solving a specific problem for a specific market, you have a pond full of fish that are just starving, and you know, you can get as many as you want. That doesn't mean that you can't have quality. You have to be able to deliver. But it's a lot easier to do that than it is to try to serve everyone and solve everyone's problems and do everything for everyone.
Right. We could go on a big tangent discussion here, because sometimes you're that deep on an unknown niche that people don't even know that the niche or the problem exists. That's a hard place to be. That's a hard place to be at.
That's a very hard place to be at, right. And so I kind of look at, before you go into a niche, you want to make sure there's a market for it, obviously.
Yeah. Some competition is still good, right?
Yeah, so some competition is still good. But I talk with a lot of people who solve, you know, they have these tools that solve problems for everyone. And it's like, okay, you're competing with MailChimp, you're competing with, you know, GetResponse, AWeber. You know, what if you were the email marketing tool for real estate agents only? You know, and you only helped real estate agents, and you had conversations with real estate agents, and you figured out what it is that they needed in an autoresponder to make their lives super easy, and you built the pricing around that. I mean, how much easier is it to go after real estate agents who are trying to grow their business than anybody who's trying to send an email? You know, so so you're right. It's not bad to have competition, but if you can position your product to be the only one in a specific market, then you obviously have quite an advantage.
Awesome. Let's go back to actual demo scenario that you typically follow. And my rough guess is that there should be no fixed scenario, right? What do you typically do when you get with a person in call?
So my process with the first call is I don't recommend this for everyone. Oftentimes it doesn't make a lot of sense, especially if you're one of the one call closers. But what I like to do is typically have a discovery call initially. And so the whole purpose of that call is to just figure out what it is that they want to accomplish. What is it? What are their goals? Why do they want to accomplish them? What will happen in their business if they accomplish that specific goal? I want to figure out if they're a good fit for me. And oftentimes in that discovery call, which is usually about 10 to 15 minutes, I find that they're not a good fit, and that's great. Instead of spending an hour and a half on a demo call, I've wasted 15 minutes, and I'm trying to get that down. I'm trying to do that pre-qualification actually before we get on the call. But for me, it's a matter of just understanding the pain points of the customer, and even the simple fact of just asking your customer specific questions and getting them to think about their problems in different ways, and getting them to see how their problem is actually affecting their business. That's like high level sales stuff. It's more than just asking what's your conversion rate and where do you want it to be at and what's wrong with your product. It's just like it's figuring out what effect does this have in your business that you know due to the fact that you can't increase conversions or that you can't schedule more demos or that your design sucks. Like how is that affecting your business? And getting them to think about their problems in a different way. Just the act of doing that makes the sale go a lot faster, but it also helps you get ready for the demo call, because once you hop on the demo, once they feel like they understand, they know that you understand their problems. Most people don't spend the time to understand your problems. You know, it's like that's why therapy is such a booming industry, is because literally it's just somebody that says, I want to hear all your problems and I'm not going to judge you, just tell me, right? And so we all have problems. If we spend the time to really understand deeply the problems that our customers are having, and then provide them a solution where we honestly think we can help them, that's the key right there is being able to do that. And then the demo call, the actual demo call, a lot of times is just saying, here's what we talked about, here's where I think I can help, and here's how we can do it. And then just going through the tool and showing. And then making sure that you're solving the right problems for the customer. And by that point, the customer feels like that you understand their problems and that you can potentially solve their problems. There's a very high chance it'll convert.
Could these be two parts of the same call so that there is no, you know, scheduling hoops and trying to figure out two time slots for the person?
Sure. Yeah, you can totally do that. And you know, one of the big things The big differences with good salespeople and scheduling good demos is that they already anticipate a lot of the problems that the customer has, and they already know what questions to ask, and they know the product so well that they don't have to have necessarily a separate call. They could just go right into, okay, let's now that I understand your problems, let's show you how we can help you solve those. And that you can go right into that with the demo. So there's no problem with doing that. I like to split it up into two different calls, just because, as most people know, most salespeople know, you need a few contacts,
seven, 10, something like that.
Yeah, seven to ten contacts, right, before you make the sale. Having a small demo call and then scheduling the call with a plan, that's a really small call to action, you know. It gets the person to take the next step in the process. It's kind of taking that first date, having that first conversation on Tinder, and then being like, hey, you know what? I kind of like this person. And the person says, hey, would you like to chat tomorrow? And then you're like, totally. I need to go to bed right now, but we'll chat later. And it kind of builds that anticipation. It shows that you want to spend the time to come up with a custom plan for the customer. And most of the time, I would say 90% of the time when I do that, the customer is super excited to chat with me the second time. And that's something that you need to test, obviously. I mean, this works for me, and that's the thing about every company is it's different. It's just a matter of finding out what's working and what's not working, and making what's working work better, and then getting rid of what's not working.
That's a great strategy, because you're making the person feel like you're a friend of theirs and you're meeting again, which is a different feeling, right?
It's a totally different feeling. Yeah, it's not a sales call anymore. It's like, I'm on your side. I want to spend the time to figure out how to solve your problems. So give me a couple of days and we'll get back together. And there's a lot more value in that. For a lot of people find a lot more value in that. So,
a few technical questions. What exactly is the material that you typically show? So I guess that could range from screenshots to PowerPoint presentations to actual live, you know, staging account or something. How does that usually work?
That's a good question. Again, it depends on the level of awareness. Assuming your customer's product aware and they already know the product exists, they know what they're looking for, a live screen share is probably the best. What I suggest is actually creating a dummy account with the customer's logo in there, doing some research, maybe find one of their customers, or coming up with a fake customer that, or maybe they mentioned they wanted Disney, right, as a customer, so you put Disney in their account. You say, you know, this is a fake account, obviously, but we just want to show you how this would work when you're actually using the product. Because what you want customers to do is there's two types of value that they're going to get. One is perceived value, and one is experience value. So with a demo, they're most likely not going to be able to experience the value of the product because it's usually more complicated and they actually need to go in and do it. What you want to do is show them what their life is going to be like with the product in their life. So however that looks, like sometimes I was talking to somebody a couple days ago and their product was super, super, super simple. Like there's nothing to screen share. There's nothing to show. Essentially the whole call was, what are your pain points? And then at the end of the call saying, cool, well, we can do this for you. Let's do it. Let's do one. They were kind of like a travel agency kind of thing to save money on travel. So they said, cool, let's schedule a trip for you and see how much we can save for you. And I was like, that was the call. Like there was no screen share, there was no, you know, product demo or anything. It was a matter of just figuring out the pain and saying, let us show you how we can solve this pain for you. So it really depends on your product, but what you really want to do is make sure that the customers feel like you want to make them feel like they are actually in the product using it and experiencing the benefit of the tool.
Wonderful. For the next steps, I believe there, first you need to provide and inform them of the CTA call to action right on the call so that there is some logical wrap up. And what do you actually do for the follow up?
For the call to action, it depends on what call I'm at. Usually, on the second call, and keep in mind, like I'm not selling a SaaS product. I don't have a SaaS product. I'm, you know, doing consulting and stuff. So it's a little bit different, but for a demo, when we consult a demo, an enterprise level SaaS, Really, the question is depending on who you're talking to. Number one, so if you're not talking to a decision maker, the call to action becomes let's, now that you've seen the tool, what do we need to do to get a meeting with the rest of your team to show them the tool in action?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's
mm-hmm.
It's not trying to ask for the sale. If you're talking to the decision maker, the team of the decision makers, it's really explaining the tool. It's showing the value. Presenting your offer, and then kind of just saying what would make sense as far as next steps. Like, would you, is this a tool that you feel can help? And then just kind of going from there, just kind of, saying, well, you know, is this something that you're ready to do right now? That's another thing too, is, right away, usually in the conversations, as I ask at the beginning, is this a now problem or a later problem? And if they say now problem, then you know that that's a pain they have now, and they're not going to push it off later. They're not going to say, oh, we're not ready for it yet. If it's a later problem, that's when you can kind of schedule a demo for later when the problem is more present. But at the end of the call, assuming their pain is present, that's where at that point, if they've seen the aha moment and they've seen the value of the tool, it's not really that hard to get the sale. It's just a matter of, cool, we can set you up with an account. You can fiddle around with it, and let's check in a couple of days to see how you're liking things. And then the follow up really is a mix, probably, of sales emails or from salespeople to say, hey, just wanted to pop in and see how things are going. And then the second thing is making sure that if the customer does get set up with an account or a free trial, if that's what you're doing, that there's some kind of onboarding on place to make sure that they get the value from the product, or that the salesperson is inside their tool, making sure that they're taking action in the tool and getting their account set up so they can get value from it. So that's the main thing. If they're not ready to make a purchase yet, the nurturing emails, the follow-up emails can sort of be automated, really, to focus on the pain points the customer currently has and how your tool can solve them.
And you could use the mix of manual labor and your email automation marketing tool, where you can manually move the customer to a sequence or to a group or whatever that is for your software, right?
Totally. And depending on the value of the customer value, right? Below a certain level, it doesn't make sense to do that. But, at 50K, 100K a year for clients, it makes sense to spend a little bit of time hand-holding the customer, making sure they're getting value, putting in the right sequence, getting the right emails, right? So at some point it doesn't make sense because it's cost prohibitive, but it just depends on where how your customer's lifetime value is.
We are really running out of time, but I have a couple more questions for you. So one of them is, at what stage of the business, or maybe what price point or LTV does it make sense to introduce demos as opposed to fully automated, faceless, low-touch, regular sales process?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's a great question. So typically when you're starting out, no matter the price point, it makes sense to have demos, because in those demos is where you're going to actually see, you do video and look at your customer's eyes, see where they're like, they light up and where they realize that the tool is going to help them, or they say things like, whoa, that's cool, or that's awesome. Like, you don't get that in a free trial, kind of model that's low touch. Even if your product is like $20 a month or $50 a month, have as many demos as you can, because that's going to give you so much feedback. It's going to help you understand what the aha moments are, what features your customers really, really love, and which ones you probably don't need to focus on. And then eventually you can move that into kind of a low-touch sales process. So the answer is everyone should do demos at least a few times during the quarter, just to see where the market is at, to find out what are resonating with customers. Your market's changing. There's more products coming out there. So having demos on a regular basis is just good practice. But after you kind of have that moving, it really depends on the price point of your customer. A lot of the sales can be done just by having a pre-recorded demo that just shows the tool and getting people into a funnel at a free trial. And sometimes it's a matter of setting up a few different offers on the homepage to get the customer to take an action based on what level of awareness they're at, and then segmenting them. If they have over 20 employees, you know that that customer is probably worth $50,000 a year. So you can just kind of move them into a demo sequence and let everyone else that's less than that go through the actual low touch onboarding process. But really, if you're a founder and you're doing sales yourself, the goal is for you to move out of that position at some point. And so either that means hiring a salesperson or doing more of a low touch sales process. But if your sales are worth a lot of money, if they're better lifetime customer value, you can obviously spend more time. But as you go through your process, you'll kind of know, start to figure out, it doesn't make much sense for us to keep doing these demos. It's just not profitable for us. We need to move to a low touch. Or you just realize we only really need, two or three clients a month. So it makes sense to have like a really hands-on demo. So.
Yeah, that's a great strategy, particularly like the segmentation plan when you only have some people moving down the automated funnel and the other is high touch.
Yeah.
And I could totally testify with the early stage demos for the founders. That is gold.
Yeah.
We've been doing customer discovery calls with the UserList co-founders, and it brings you so much energy and inspiration and customer insight that you would never, ever get from written communication.
Like, exactly.
I could never imagine. That was my first experience like that, surprisingly, and I was really inspired. And also, making a decision to bring all co-founders on the call together gives us a sense of team much higher than it would be than if one of us was present.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right.
For the closing, would you give us an inspiration advice for people who are afraid to hop on the call with their customers, who are afraid to do demos? What can help them overcome their fear?
That is a great question, and I don't think there's anyone in the world who wakes up one day and says, I want to have demo calls with as many people as possible and be uncomfortable, right? So that's something everyone struggles with. What's really helped me, this is kind of a cop out excuse or strategy, but just doing the calls. And if you're new to doing demo calls, the best strategy I think is to just reach out to someone who signed up as a customer and say, hey, I'm just starting the tool. I really would like to get your feedback or your advice on the product. Do you have time for a quick call? And then when you hop on the call, be honest with them and say, I haven't done a lot of these demo calls. Honestly, I'm really trying to just solve a problem for you. And so I just want to find out what are the problems that you have. Remember, it's not about your tool. You're not selling a tool, you're selling a solution. So the quicker you can get to what is the solution that you're providing to customers, the easier it'll be for you to make that sale. It's not about I would take that demo conversation and remove the idea of sales from it completely at this point. Until you understand your customer, the point of a demo call is really just to understand the customer. Once you start to understand the customer, then you can sort of move into this kind of sales mentality where you're like, okay, now I know my tool can solve the problem for them. Now it's just a matter of getting them to take the next action. But if you haven't sold on demos and you haven't talked to your customers yet, especially, these demo calls should really just be discovery calls until you figure that out and then move to a demo call. Because the more that you do them, the easier it will get. And if you come in the call thinking, how can I provide value to this customer, not how can I sell them, the whole dynamic of the call changes and your customer can feel it too. And it becomes a lot more fun because the goal is just provide value, not to sell. And it just releases a lot of the pressure. So
fantastic. Thank you so much for this advice. We're planning to do a round of demos for the early access list for the wait list. Instead of selling them as a sales link, we are going to send them a scheduling link, which will give us more and more material for further development and will hopefully give us some sales.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Well, thank you for your insight today, Aaron. That was amazing and hugely valuable for me personally. I'm sure to the audience too.
Awesome.
Where can people find you and your work online?
Sure. Well, the first suggestion would be if you run a SaaS company, if you type SaaS growth hacks on Facebook, the community is totally free. Just mention in the comments that you heard me on the podcast, and I'll let you write in. I have some questions that I usually ask people just to make sure that the group, that we keep the group quality. But if you just say, hey, I heard you on the UI Breakfast, I'll let you write in. We'll make sure the admins let you in. That's the first thing. And if you want to kind of, I have a lot of good content on my blog. It's aaronkral.io, AaronKrall.io. And there's tons of really good content on there. And I do free workshops every once in a while. And have some good materials for anyone who's trying to increase conversions.
Oh, fantastic. You mentioned you have free workshops. Do you have any particular one you'd like to mention right now?
I will probably be doing one in the next couple of weeks. So if you want to get notified of that, I would just go to the SaaS Growth Hacks group and make sure to put your email in. And when you join the group, it asks for your email if you want to give it to me, and I'll just let you know.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again for your advice, Aaron. That was amazing.
So welcome. Yeah, it was a huge pleasure. Love chatting with you.
And I hope you have a great day.
If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. It will help other people discover this podcast.